James chapter 4, and you might put a bookmark or your thumb in Hebrews 11, and then if you have another finger available, I'll call these verses out, but I just want to prepare you. 1 John 5:14. When we come to the subject of healing or anything else, we have to keep things in mind. We can make error and commit an error on different ends of the spectrum. When I was a boy, I was raised in a tradition where we scheduled revival and we hoped God showed up. In other words, we would say, we're going to have a revival next week from Monday through Sunday, and it occurred to me once that how presumptuous of us to say we're going to have revival. God sends revival. You may plan some meetings that you're going to have someone speak, and that's a good thing. We like that, but God determines whether He's going to send revival or not. We pray that when we schedule meetings like that, that God does send revival. But there's two errors that you can commit in the Christian life. One is presumption. The other is lack of faith. Now, there's more errors than those, but they're just the two I want to talk about this morning. Presumption is presuming upon God when you don't have the warrant to do so. When you have the warrant to expect something from God, it's faith, not presumption. But when it's not warranted, you are presuming upon God, and we want to avoid two errors this morning before our service of healing. And the first one is to presume upon God. We don't want to presume upon God. I've watched quote-unquote healing services on television, and sometimes it comes off as though people are bossing God around, telling Him what to do, and God is kind of an errand boy saying, yes, sir, I'll do it. You know, if you just have enough faith, tell me what you want and I'll obey you. Well, that's backwards. We don't tell God what to do. Even when it's His will, we don't tell Him what to do. We reverently request and beseech Him, but we never command Him to do anything. That's a role reversal if there ever was one. So we look at James chapter 4, and therein is a little statement that we must keep in mind when we offer prayer for anything, whether it's healing or plans that we have that we'd like to engage in. Anything in our life at all is often and should be often preceded by this clarification. Verse 13 of chapter 4, James. Come now, you who say, tomorrow or today we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Now, how many of you this last week have made plans and didn't think about consulting God? I did. Now, I thought about it, but I just made plans because we get into the habit of making plans and we don't think that we need to bother God with all those things and we just go ahead and do it ourselves. But that's probably not a good idea, right? Even the mundane things we need to give to God and say, Lord, if You're willing, I'd like to do this or that. And we need to put it in that context because God has chosen through the ages to heal some people and not others. So we know from history and we know from Scripture that He doesn't always heal. Sometimes He leaves people in their affliction so that they will depend upon Him more. And the Apostle Paul was one of those. He had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, to keep him from exalting himself. Paul must have had a problem with pride, and the Lord knew it, and He said, Paul, I'm going to help you with that problem. I'm going to send a difficulty in your life that will keep you humble. And it must have been a miserable thing because the Apostle Paul didn't like it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and following. He asked the Lord three times to remove it. And the Lord said in each occasion, no. For My grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made great in your weakness. In other words, Paul, when I don't afflict you with this thorn, you get puffed up. And you start taking credit for things, and you start trusting in your own abilities, in your own cleverness, in your own ingenuity. And that's not very good. I want a successful apostle, so I'm going to make you depend on me, not you. And in your case, it's going to require a thorn in the flesh that I'm not going to remove. Now, that has to be true of others. That God in His sovereignty and in His providence knows what we need. And that some of us need healing, and some of us need to stay where we are, because where we are keeps us closer to God. Now, you can receive a healing and still be close to God. That's not the implication. But for some people, the affliction keeps them closer. And in any condition, closer to Jesus is better than further away. Amen? In any condition, being closer to Jesus is better than being further away. So in my prayers to the Lord to heal me from Parkinson's, I have said, Lord, heal me, but only if it will make me better in serving you. If it doesn't, don't heal me. And I was in a men's Bible study the other night, and a man who we all know, I think, many of us know anyway, came into the Bible study, and he told me his story of how he became blind. He's 56 years old, and he was blinded at age 46, so he's been blind 10 years. And I asked him, how did that happen? And he said, well, he had been administered way too much anesthesia during his surgery, and it blocked the optic nerve from working. And I said, how are you doing? He says, I'm closer to Jesus. He said, this blindness has caused me to hear Him better, because I can't see Him. And this blindness has caused me to depend on Him more. And I said, but you do want to be healed, don't you? He said, no. Wow. I said, why is that? He says, I'm closer to Jesus. And I have this feeling in my heart that if I were healed, I wouldn't be. I said, you know that it's possible to be healed and stay close. That's what I'm hoping for. But He said, you're a blessing to me. I said, wow, thank you for that. I was just going to say the same thing about you. And He is a blessing to me because I'm not blind. I can still see and hear and talk and walk. So I don't feel so bad about what I have after meeting Him. Amen? It's a matter of perspective. Is God enough for you? Is He enough? You should be able to say as Paul, I have been rich and I have been poor, and I have learned in all circumstances to be content. Because the testimony of God's sufficiency is not just found in His ability to take you from being infirmed to healed, but to sustain you if He doesn't heal you. Is just as much a testimony to His power and His sufficiency as any healing will ever be. In fact, I would call that a healing. Healing of the soul. Our souls are healed regardless of what our physical condition when we say to Jesus, you are enough. You're enough. Now, we ought therefore to preface our prayers with what James encourages us to do. Some people say, if you qualify your prayers with this little phrase, you demonstrate that you don't have enough faith and God won't heal you. I submit to you that it is never a demonstration of a lack of faith to do what Scripture tells you. And so James says to these people who say, we're going to go here and make a profit and do this and that. Yet you do not know, verse 14, your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say. Now, that's a command from the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit inspired James to write that. That's not James's idea. That's the Holy Spirit's idea. You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or do that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. In other words, when we do not submit our plans or our intentions or our hopes or our dreams to the Lord, we're presuming upon Him that He is going to bless our plans, and we have not yet consulted with Him. Now, many times we have consulted and we move forward, and that's a good thing. But consultation is always necessary, and therefore it is a good custom, if it doesn't become just rote habit, to say always, if the Lord wills, if the Lord wills, if the Lord wills, and mean it. And so we say that this morning regarding the healing service. If the Lord wills, He will heal whom He may and whom He desires. Now, the opposite error is found in Hebrews 11, 6, or at least it's alluded to. The opposite error is approaching God as a skeptic and saying, well, you know, He might heal, He might not heal, and, you know, I don't think that stuff happens anymore, and that was for the first century, and, you know, God doesn't work like that anymore. And you know, I've read the Old Testament and the New Testament several times, and it begins with Job, which is the oldest book in the Old Testament. I mean, the story of Genesis is obviously older, but when Genesis was written is not as old as when Job was written. And that goes back to about 2400 B.C. And from Genesis through Revelation, God is healing people. So I don't think God is restricted to a time frame or to a calendar when it comes to healing. He can heal whenever He wants, however He wants, whomever He wants, and He's still on His throne. Amen? So we need to be reminded to balance this other extreme. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For those who come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In other words, you want to please God, you have to have faith. Without it, you can't please Him. And you might ask, what is it that pleases God? Is it some sort of activity, or is it some sort of disposition, or is it some sort of good work that we do? This is what pleases God: faith. You could not give God or anyone else a better compliment than to say, I trust you. I said this a couple of Sundays ago, if the ladies in the room, if I were to say to every one of you, I couldn't say it to every one of you. You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. See, I couldn't say that to everyone because that would be a lie. Then I would have, you know, you're the second most beautiful woman I've ever seen, and the third and the fourth. If I could say that to you, or say to you instead, I trust you with my life, which would be the greater compliment? Trust. Because trust says something about your character and your integrity. Your looks say nothing about that. And what matters is your character and your integrity. And so when we say to God, I trust you, we cannot render a better compliment to Him, because we're testifying to His nature, to His person, to His character, to His integrity, that we can lay our lives into His hands and we'll be there well kept and provided for regardless of our circumstance. So for those of you who lack faith today, get more of it. God is on His throne and can heal. For those of you who might presume to tell God that He must heal you, turn to 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. People jump right over that phrase. And a lot of people read that, or don't read it, I should say, but have read the similar phrase that Jesus spoke, anyone who asks anything in my name, it shall be done unto them. Now, what does it mean to ask in his name? Well, it means to ask with the knowledge that he would approve of what you're asking. When a king would send an ambassador afar to another country, that ambassador didn't have a right to say anything in the king's name that the king hadn't approved. He couldn't come into another kingdom and say, oh, by the way, the king says you owe me $50 million. That's my salary, and I'm going to take it from you, or we're going to attack your nation. If the king found out that he was using extortion like that, he would have his head cut off. He didn't warrant or give him permission to use his authority in that manner. Therefore, the ambassador can only say to those to whom he speaks what the king has given him latitude to say and no more. He represents the king. And so when you say, I come in the name of King James, or I come in the name of King John or King George, you better be coming with only what he had to say and not something that you've got to say, because you can't use his name that way. Off with your heads if you do. In the same way, King Jesus is saying, if you ask anything according to my name or by my name, what that assumes is I approve. In the name of Jesus, it's not an incantation that you just mutter out of your mouth just to be a kind of a punctuation mark for the end of your prayer. I pray that God will heal me in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name assumes that God approves. And sometimes we don't know whether he approves, so we say it anyway because we hope that he does. And therein lies the dilemma, because we do not have access into the providential sovereign plan of God regarding the details of our lives. I wouldn't want access to them. Would you? I like handling life in the just the general categories that he gives me already. The details would weigh too heavy on me. And then I would be anticipating, okay, I know what's happening November such and such, and now in December, oh boy, that's going to be a hard one. I just want to take it as it comes. How about you? In fact, Jesus said that. He said, do not worry for tomorrow will take care of itself. Today has enough worries of its own. So we have to be careful. We have to make sure that we pray with faith, but reverently. With faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's not stingy. He's not a spendthrift. He's not a miser. He's lavish in his giving. Do you believe that? Yes, I do believe that. In fact, he gives us more than we can imagine. That's how lavish he is. We stop way short. We say things like, I'll take a healing instead of I'll take two healings. Or I'll take a healing instead of contentment. Do you know who the richest person in the world is? The person who's content. That's the richest person. Because he doesn't need a dollar more. He doesn't need a dime more. I know billionaires, not personally, but I've heard of them, who are not content with the billions they have. So money won't make you content. Only God can. Now, having said that, we're going to pray, and then I'm going to ask the elders and pastors to come forward, and we'll be on each side of the pulpit here to receive you if you want to be prayed for and anointed with oil. Why are we doing this? James says to. If you are ill, if you're sick, seek out the elders, and they will anoint you with oil and pray for you. And that's what we're trying to do, is be obedient. And so periodically we will do this throughout the year. And we are going to do it with reverent faith, believing that God certainly can heal. He is no less powerful today than he was 2,000 years ago or even 3,000 years ago. And so as we end this prayer, you make your way up to the front. And if you don't want to stand for a long period of time, just stay where you are, and then you can come up as people sit down. Father, thank you for your love for us and the fact that you are powerful, so powerful that you open eyes that are blind and ears that are deaf and mouths that are mute. You make legs that have been paralyzed to walk again. You make people who are bent over to be straight. You make those who have issues of blood, the flow of blood to stop. You loosen the tongues of those who are mute and dumb, and you heal hearts too. You make hearts whole and new, and you take hearts of stone and replace them with hearts of flesh. Lord, you're a spiritual healer. You're a physical healer. You're a relational healer. You heal in every capacity known to man. And so we pray today for those who will come forward that you will heal them. We don't doubt your ability whatsoever. The only thing we understand is that sometimes you heal and sometimes you don't. So we pray another prayer, and that is to make us content with whatever your will is. Some would say that's a lack of faith. I beg to disagree. It's not a lack of faith. It's an expression of faith. Being willing to be content with whatever God gives us rather than insisting that he do it our way. So, Lord, we lift these people in advance to you, and we pray you will heal them if it be your will. In Jesus' name, amen.